Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am the Bill Arnold part of that little sentence. Awfully glad you joined me today. We are going to have so much fun in this coming hour. My friends Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly have joined me in studio. Michael brought his keyboard along. So we are going to be talking about our event coming up on March 16th right here at the University of Northwestern. It'll be an evening of total fun and hilarity, music, and ministry. So it's going to all happen March 16th. If you don't have tickets, you're going to want to get them. And we're going to be giving away several sets of tickets today. So if you want to get your name in the drawing for winning a pair of tickets, here's what you do. Go to bill@myfaithradio.com and just write the number 70 into the subject line. And then make sure you give your name and address, and if you don't mind, your phone number. And if you don't want to do that, that's cool too. All right. I was just reading in the paper today, a man here right here in Plymouth, Minnesota, was accused of trying to sell $240,000 worth of stolen printer ink on eBay. And it turns out it was only like 37 cartridges. So you never know. You never know. Your mics aren't on, so don't worry. I don't need anything from the peanut gallery right now. All right. All right, so we're going to take a little break. When we come back, Bob and Mike in studio. Mike, why don't you play us out? Give us a little bumper music. There we go. Live bumper music all hour on Afternoons with Bill Arnold. There we go. We're going to have some kind of fun today.
Thank you for seeing the value of a biblical education, for allowing me to pursue my passion of public relations. Thank you for showing me that you care about my future, for being a part of my journey at University of Northwestern. My name is Dylan, and I'm from Benson, Minnesota, and a junior at the University of Northwestern. I want to thank every person who gives to the Northwestern Scholarship Fund. Without you, I would not be where I am today. You can give to students like me by visiting unwsp.edu/give.
As our 70th anniversary approaches, we're celebrating. Join us for a night of comedy, music, and ministry. If you love Triple Espresso, you're going to really love this. Join Bill Arnold and the writers of Triple Espresso as we celebrate 70 years of radio ministry. Michael Pierce Donnelly, Bob Stromberg, and Bill Arnold will keep you laughing with a great evening of laughter and music. One night only, 7 p.m. March 16th at the Knight Performance Hall, the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota. Tickets are on sale now at myfaithradio.com.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Live bumper music today. I'm loving this. Welcome to Afternoon.
Arnold, he's on the air.
From 3 to 5.
Oh, Bill Arnold. Oh, he's on the air. And Mike and Bob are with him. And we're gonna have so much fun on Bill Arnold's show right here now today.
There you go. See, this is the kind of unrehearsed material we've got planned for the show.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Next time, next bumper, do that again. And yeah. I'll sing the exact same words right with you.
You really?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you kidding? Do you know the song already, Bob?
I'll know it.
Okay.
We've worked together, Bill, as you know, so long. I know what he's thinking. I know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And every word he says, I'll do.
All right. Bob Stromberg, Michael Pierce Donnelly in studio with me. We are going to be, as you know, together on March 16th, coming up on the University of Northwestern campus as we celebrate 70 years.
Wait, is this a gig?
Yeah, it's a paying gig.
When are we doing this?
March 16th. Don't say you don't have it in your... Don't do this to the, don't do this to me.
Okay. I'm sure I can.
You can work around it.
I'll work around.
Good.
What's the name of the auditorium now? It's a different name than it used to be. Do you remember?
Knight.
Night Performance Center.
The night, and it is so beautiful. It used to be Maranatha
Hall. So more than Maranatha.
Yeah, it
really
is.
It's just night.
It is gorgeous.
It's really
beautiful. We're going to have a great night there. Mm-hmm. And let me just formally introduce you, Bob Stromberg. And if those of you who have seen Bob, you know he was born to be on stage, world's funniest man. And bobstromberg.com is the place to go check out his website, learn more about him. You're welcome. And Michael Donnelly, I swear, let's talk about how the three of us sort of observed each other and met, because I think it's kind of a fun story. I was at the National Youth Workers Convention in 1991.
That's right.
And you and I were there.
In Chicago. Yep.
At the, I think, the Hyatt at O'Hare. And we were all on the closing night after dinner comedy night. It was you, me, Steve Geyer, and Mark Lowry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think we each had about 20 minutes.
We did, and we were in the process, my wife Judy and I were in the process of moving with our family up here in a few months, and you said, hey, when you come on up, why don't you get in touch with me?
Let's have breakfast.
Yeah. Let's have breakfast. So we moved up in the June of 92, and I called you, and I said, hey, let's get together. Oh, no, this was later on. You and I did get together numerous times.
Yep.
But then, Michael, you were the musical director for the Sunday night show.
On KTIS and all over Faith Radio.
Why are you playing? Because you're putting me to sleep.
No, your whole thing, it was a little boring, so I thought I'd give
my
you just
story
a little...
My story was boring?
It was, you know, the my whole story. Bob and... Bill thing.
Okay.
I thought, so,
but boy, this music isn't boring.
But then, when Mike came in, it's just like, oh, and then Mike came in.
Yeah. Well, I remember I went to Chick, and you were like the biggest deal at Chick, and Mike was at Chick.
That's right.
In Colorado, and that was the first time I saw him perform.
And that's a Christian conference.
Yeah, we should say what a Chick is.
Yeah. What does it stand for?
Covenant High in Christ.
Yeah. Covenant High in Christ. Yeah. Anyway, I was at that conference. I was doing a short spot. I met Michael. I saw him perform. I thought, wow, was he amazing.
Yep.
And that's how I think we all sort of observed each other. And then we had breakfast that one famed day at a restaurant not too far from here.
That's right.
And we said, what do you say? Why should we try to put a show together?
Yeah.
And I remember I said, we'll never write it if we don't book it ahead of time, because the three of us are all so busy. We'll never do it unless we book it, and so that we have to do it. And you said, oh, I'll make some calls.
Yeah.
And you called up several of
John Crosby at Presbyterian. And I said, hey, John, how would you like to have a show, kind of a family night of entertainment for your church family?
And we have no idea what it will be.
No, I said, you know, Bob and Mike, I dropped your names because they carried some weight.
But we didn't know what it was going to be.
Of course we didn't know, Mike.
But he didn't know that
we
didn't
know. No, he didn't know either. I said, why don't we offer this night? He said, that'd be great. So we booked it a month later. And at that point, we had not written one line.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And then we started working hard on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little bit of time to work on it, which was good. But we put together about an hour of material, and we kept about a half an hour, maybe a little bit more than that.
Probably more than that.
Yeah. And that became, to this day, some of those pieces we're still doing in Triple Espresso.
Like, if you know Triple Espresso, the paper dance is basically what it was that very first night that we did it.
Yep.
All those years ago.
Cable Zaire may have been the same.
We didn't put in Cable Zaire until the second one.
Yeah.
But now I'll take you back, though, a little bit about when Bob, you and I first met, because it was on Sunday night on Faith Radio.
You were the musical director, weren't you?
Right. It used to be the Skylight Satellite Network. We would air all over the country, and we did this show called Sunday Night, and I was the music director. And anyway, there was this storyteller from out east, and he'd been writing and kind of sending tapes. You had tapes back then.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to be on your show.
Yep.
And so finally he came on, and so the first time that I saw him was just a couple just a little ways away over at Maranatha Hall.
That's right.
And Bob came on the stage, and it's just like we hit it off, and I said, who is this guy?
And I said to you, Michael, after about, I don't know, we did one or two shows together, and I was sort of being brought on as a kind of a regular the last couple of years there. But I remember saying to you after about two shows, I'm saying, you are now my favorite musical artist.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
I believe it to be true. I do remember
that. Oh, absolutely it was true. Yeah.
Maybe. I even wrote a theme song for you.
That's right. Let's hear it.
Let's see. I got to find the right key.
He's the guy with the warm hello.
Hello!
And a wave when he's out for a mow.
Hi, neighbor!
He's the guy to call to take in your mail. He's a real neighbor. Hey, it's neighbor Bob. He's the guy with the extra wrench.
Ah, keep it.
He's the man for every job. He's really swell and he dresses well. He's my neighbor. My neighbor Bob. Hi, neighbor.
That was Bob's little theme song.
I love it. All right, we'll take a little break, and then hopefully we'll still have listeners when we come back. It's 14 minutes after the hour. Michael will give us a little bumper music on the way out. I've got Bob Stromberg, Michael Pierce Donnelly in studio. We're talking about what's happening at the Knight Performance Hall on the campus of the University of Northwestern, March 16th, 7 p.m., one night only. You're not going to want to miss this. Be back in a minute.
We're back with Bill.
We're back with Bill.
And Mike. And Bob. And Bob. Having fun in Roseville. With Mike, Bill, and Bob. Take it, Bob.
Take it, Mike.
Nice little scatty. You guys are so good. Anyway, welcome back. Bob Stromberg, Michael Pierce Donnelly is in studio with me, and we're talking about coming up what's happening on March 16th at Knight Performance Hall on the University of Northwestern campus here. We're going to be celebrating the 70th anniversary of Faith Radio, and I have to say, we're going to have fun. Just so you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I want our listeners to hear a little bit about, Mike, you started, I think, when you were 15, getting paid to sing and play.
Yeah, my first paying gig was at a, it was a bar. I was 15 years old, and it's a long story. My folks went to this place. It was called the Stardust Lounge, but everybody called it Buster's because Buster was the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me one Thursday night and said, hey, Buster has this organ. And he's upset because nobody ever plays the organ. And do you suppose you could come by and play your organ for $75?
What? $75?
I think I got $75.
Didn't you have geometry homework?
Well, probably.
Yeah.
But that was some pretty good money,
that's
too.
That's big money back then.
Yeah. So, yeah, they had, but I said, but I don't know how to play the organ. Do you have a piano? No, they don't have a piano. Well, what do I play? Well, bring your Carpenter's Gold book.
Yeah.
So I came. Actually, it should be an organ.
Oh, that's funny.
Why do birds suddenly appear? And then guys would come up to me and say, hey, dude, I've got $10 right here. Would you stop playing? would you please stop playing? And I just want to play the jukebox.
Take the money.
Could you just
take
this money? Yeah. Here's 20. I'm sorry, Buster told me I had to play until 10 o'clock. I'm really sorry.
And you're 15.
I'm 15, and I was out of the whole bar business by the time I was old enough to be in one.
Nice, and then you went into a really a big group called Soft Touch.
Yeah, there
one
was
word one T.
Yeah, there was a great. It was a duo. It was basically myself and a woman who was 10 years older than me, and we started a band, and we called it Soft Touch. One word, one T. And the byline was music with a ... soft touch. We actually had a soft touch ending. So
I don't know if I want you to play.
Let's see if you had a, if this is the end of the song, right?
Yeah.
The soft touch ending would be.
Of course.
You know, that's soft touch. Yeah. So
your music repertoire in Soft Touch? Was it more of Carpenters?
Well, it started with the Carpenters, and then we branched out a little bit into Barry Manilow and you know, just some James Taylor.
Yeah.
And then this woman who would become my partner in Soft Touch would come and she'd say, would you mind if I sang a little bit? And she like did a really good Karen Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could just relax and just play my music. And then she could sing and then I could fade into the background. And it was much, much better for me. So then she became kind of the thing. And I was the background. I was the captain to her, to Neil. And the rest is history.
And what a wonderful story.
Yeah. It's heartwarming. It's got all the pieces of a great story.
Or a movie.
Or a movie. It could be a movie.
Yeah. And I stayed awake because I'm the host of the show.
That's right.
Yeah. But it's a great, great story.
Soft Touch. One word, one T. Look it up. Google it.
And, Bob, you grew up in Western Pennsylvania?
I did. I grew up in a little factory town. Everybody worked at the glass factory. No culture, no art, no at all.
No soft touch.
No soft touch, nothing.
No busters.
But I was this kid. I had a need for attention, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Not because I lacked it at home, but just because that's who I was. And I really wanted to be a performer. I didn't know what that meant. I went to college. I had the opportunity to see Marcel Marceau in college in Paris. And I said, that's what I want to do. I want to learn how to do that. I didn't want to be a white-faced mime, but I wanted to learn how to move and tell stories that way.
And if so people don't know who Marcel Marceau is.
The great, great French mime. Mm-hmm. He was really the father of modern mime.
Yeah, yeah.
And before it was a joke. And I remember after getting married, I remember sitting down with my mom and dad around the kitchen table back in their home in Pennsylvania. I wasn't living there at the time, but my dad said to me, what are your intentions? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, what are you going to do with, what do you want to do with your life? I'm 21 years old. Yeah. I'm married. And I said, I just lit up and I said, Dad, I'm going to be a mime. Now, here's the great part of the story. What would a parent think, you know, like, oh my goodness, my kid wants to be a mime. My mom and dad looked at me and my dad said, oh, Bob, that's perfect. And he meant it.
Really?
Yes. I mean,
reverse psychology?
No, that's the beauty of my story.
I've got to go the other way now.
That's the beauty of my story. My dad and mom knew me so well.
Mm-hmm.
That they knew if you want to be on stage, that's what you should be doing. They weren't encouraging me to become a doctor or a lawyer or anything else. And boy, how empowering that was for a kid to hear that. Well, a kid, I mean, I was 21 years old as a young man, but to know that I had the support of my parents like that. Mm-hmm.
Bill, you know, kind of like that. I mean, my parents, they saw my potential and brought me to Buster's. And said, hey, listen,
an organ
that's
kid.
Perfect.
Right, right.
That's perfect, Mike.
Yeah. And Bob, were you a class clown in high school?
I would have been. I that was one of my greatest desires because I wanted that attention. And I could have been, but my dad was the principal.
Okay,
that was an impossibility for me. I had to wait till after I got out of school.
Yeah. So you actually did training in mime.
Yeah, I did. And it led me to a life of to doing what I do with comedy and performing. I've always been a very physical actor and mime, so that's where that came in. That came in handy. But I have always loved to create, whether it's music or theater or comic sketches or working with you guys. That's been what has really excited me through the years.
You grew up in the church and you came to faith as a young boy, didn't you?
Yeah, I was 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
I never remember a time when I didn't believe, but I do remember, quote, praying the prayer when I was a little boy, and then many times after that, of course, too, just to make sure.
Yeah.
But I never knew a time in my life when I didn't believe and love Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And,
sure is.
And God bless your parents, who are both still alive.
They are. They're out in Connecticut, and they ask about you guys often. So always, I ask them
often too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
They're doing fantastic, and they just celebrated their 70th wedding.
70th wedding,
which Mike and I attended,
and we were there.
We were there.
It's the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah. And your dad got up and gave a wonderful toast, and I thought, I know where Bob got it.
Mm-hmm. And he was improvising.
Oh, was he funny?
He was so funny.
Yeah,
funny man.
And Mike, what was your faith story again?
Yeah, I It was around the time that I was 15, actually, kind of around the same time I was doing the bar scene.
Mm-hmm.
God was reaching out to me, actually, a lot through Christian radio. I had there was a local radio station that I listened to, and I would hear preachers, and I was hearing stuff I didn't hear in church about a personal relationship with Jesus. It was mm-hmm. not something that they talked about in my church. And I found myself late one night, and I found a Christian TV show. This is strange, but that's what I found. And there was somebody preaching, and they said, call this number if you want to learn more about your faith. And I did. In the middle of the night, I called somebody, and God saw to it that there was a wise person on the other end of the phone who just talked me through it and said, have you ever accepted Jesus into your heart? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, let's talk about it a little bit. And we talked about it for a bit, and he led me to Christ over the phone, and it was just like a split in my life. Mm. Like everything changed.
Mm. Wow. And then you've been married to Joy for quite a long time, but it was about 30 years, about 6 months into your marriage, you had a little bit of a problem.
I had a basketball-sized tumor in my gut.
Mm-hmm.
So I had cancer as a 24-year-old, and I've still got some very large scars to prove it.
Yeah,
but God chose to give me many more years of life.
Kind of
life
a wake-up call
that.
6 months into the marriage, isn't it?
They say the first year is always the hardest.
And I too play basketball, by the way.
Did you ever see that?
With my tumor.
You never saw it, though.
I kept the tumor and gave it to Bob as a basketball.
All right.
And people who donate to Faith Radio are now canceling their credit cards.
Yeah, they are.
Thousands.
By the dozens, yeah.
Oh, my.
But that was a challenging time in your life, and I think you were facing, you know, really, if you were listening to the doctors, they were saying, be prepared to not wake up.
Yeah, at first they thought that it was a different kind of cancer than it was.
Okay.
And so the first time that I heard it, it was some people have lived 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 24.
Wow.
And but then it turned out that it was a different kind of cancer.
The good kind of cancer.
The good kind, if you're going to have it. And
this ties in beautifully with what the beginning of the show was today. With the gentleman from Wheaton talking about his Jamie disasters Asian. In their life, because certainly was, the pictures of Michael from that time are brutal.
I was 119 pounds and couldn't eat a thing and very, very, very sick.
Yeah. Let me take a little break. When we come back, we'll continue our fun. Michael Pierce Donnelly, Bob Stromberg in studio with me. And if you want to get in the drawing to win tickets to March 16th here at the Knights Performance Hall on the University of Northwestern, all you do is this. You send me an email, bill@myfaithradio.com. Just put the number 70 in the subject line. And then make sure you give me your name and address and phone number if you don't mind. And we will do a nice big drawing and then send out tickets to the winners. We'll take a little break and be back with more in just a minute. Keep playing, Mikey. There you go. Got another 15 seconds. That's my boy right there. That is live bumper music. Michael Pierce Donnelly behind the keyboard. And, you know, whenever you buy a book, they always let you read the first chapter for free. So we've got our big show coming up March 16th at Knight Performance Hall. If you want to get in the drawing to win a couple of tickets, all you do is bill@myfaithradio.com, and then just type in 70 in the subject line, and then make sure you give us your name and address. And if you win, we'll send you tickets. Now, Mike, how about a little sample? Just a little something for fun.
If you remember Sunday night, you'll remember that this was our theme song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you.
If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
I haven't sung that song in probably 20 years.
Still sounds pretty
Richard
good.
Richard K. Allison.
Richard K. Yeah. Allison and the old Sunday night group.
Yeah, I remember when some friends of mine came in town, and they came to see Triple Espresso, and I thought it was going to be exciting for them to come see the show, but they were really mostly excited about meeting Mike Donnelly, who did GT and the Halo Express.
Mm, yeah.
How about a sample of that, Mike, just to jar people's memories?
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you.
How many of those albums did you do?
I did five of them.
Okay.
There were eight total. I didn't write for the first three.
Okay.
But from tape four on, I wrote the songs for them.
Fantastic.
And all scripture songs that were that had the reference in the song too. Mm-hmm. So kids, if they learned the song, they would learn the reference and the verse.
Yeah.
And I still know those songs or know those verses because I know those songs.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And Bob, you have got two very creative kids. One's in ministry full time and one's an artist and teacher at Minnehaha Academy.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm very proud of both of them. I know. I just think they're both amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. We moved to the Twin Cities from Chicago in 1992. And I was, you remember this, Michael.
I was mainly doing music
during those times, songwriting and singing with my guitar. And it's really interesting because as Christian music developed and we got up toward the middle 1990s, I realized that I'm not going to be able to do this. Mm. I'm not good enough. and I think I was writing some pretty good songs, but here we are living in Minnesota. That's not like living in Nashville. And I realized I'm not good enough to cut it because guys like Stephen Curtis Chapman and those, they were getting hot at that time, you know. And then we wrote Triple Espresso, the three of us. And what a blessing that was for my family at that time to do that. And Judy and the boys, they had a chance to go with us.
Because you were good enough to do that.
I was good enough to do Triple Espresso.
Yeah.
That's right, because that was us. I mean, that was me and you.
Mm-hmm.
But what a blessing that was to do that. It's wonderful.
It was so fun that we would sit around and try to figure out everything we could possibly bring to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Mike, you knew how to play the saw. I thought, we can figure out how to get that in the show somewhere.
actually, Bob taught me how to play the
saw. Okay, Bob.
It was
right.
Bob's saw.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then I cut two Saw albums, which you guys have never even heard. So
now, see, I didn't even know that.
Well, I keep secrets.
Why?
Just so you know.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
And you know,
it paid
it's
well.
It's amazing too. And we've done the Triple Espresso 3,500 times. The show's been done many more times than that. But the three of us have done it about that many times. And even up to the last shows, we would come off. Now in February, the last shows, we would come off stage and go, what if you did this line instead?
Mm-hmm.
Still tweaking after 24 years.
That was one of the advantages of the authors being on stage is we had artistic control. And if we wanted to try to tighten something up or make it work a little differently, we could experiment nightly.
That's right.
What it
That's
usually right. meant is we cut my stuff. That's usually, hey, Mike, what if you didn't say that?
Let's just not do that line.
Let's just, what if we cut that song? Just all together. Just cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you really don't need to come here tomorrow night. what if Bill and I did this?
The creative process is, was one of the most interesting, you know, a collaborative process is always challenging, interesting, but, you know, when you do something as much as we've done it, there's no way we would have discovered what we discovered had we not done it so many times.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
You discovered things at 1,700 shows that you thought, was this just sitting here the whole time
That's
and
right.
we didn't see it?
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. Mm. And this show that we're doing at Northwestern now on the 16th for the big 70th anniversary, that too has been a collaborative process because
yes,
we've had the opportunity to do that show, meaning your stuff and my stuff and Mike's stuff and putting it together in a different way. And that was has been so fun for us to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're when you come on March 16th, it won't be Triple Espresso. Just want to make sure that that's clear.
Yeah.
We'll be doing other stuff, and it's going to be equally as fun.
It's always a little challenging because when they hear Triple Espresso, they have some recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be reminding the audience that they're going to see us, the writers and creators of Triple Espresso.
Yeah. Are you going to do the sauce stuff?
You should. Do something from the albums.
Yeah, I'll probably do. I'll open with that. It'll be strong.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. But, yeah. So that's going to be, just not to confuse the listeners, because they're not going to see a production of Triple Espresso.
Nope.
You're going to see the writers and authors do hilarious things, some of which will be quite reminiscent of it.
Yes. And it will be very, very, very funny.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
Yeah.
Well,
and
yeah.
lots of music. Mike, what do you got for us right now?
What have I got for you right now?
Yeah. How about one impression? You do several, which I like.
Let's see. Here's if Barry Manilow were to sing Bible songs.
Okay.
I am a lonely shepherd, but I play my harp for King Saul. I put some words and some melodies together. I am David, and I write the psalms. I write the psalms so Saul will not kill me. I write the psalms he loves, like Psalm 23. He nearly diced me, hurling spears through the sky. To keep him calm, I write the psalms. I am David, and I write the psalms.
There you go. Barry Manilow doing Bible songs.
I think it's meant to be.
I think it is, too. It's fantastic.
What's the Neil Diamond line that kills me every single time you sing it? It's just one. It's one.
Jesus was there. That's about all it is.
That's it.
Here's a short one.
Hasting away from Sodom and Gomorrahville. Ever since my wife became a pillar of salt.
Let's just end it right there.
It's biblical. That's the beautiful thing. That's what I love
biblical.
About it. It's biblical.
Yeah, that's always
right.
the key.
Yeah.
And that's all coming up on March 16th. And I know tickets have been selling extremely well. And I don't know how many tickets are left. But please call and get tickets. You can go to myfaithradio.com. If you still have not made a decision to come, please make a decision to come and join us. It is going to be a great night of fun. It's one show, one night only, 7 p.m. start on March 16th. It's a nice Saturday night, and you will have a blast. We make some pretty serious guarantees, don't we?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, let's make this as personal as we can, Bob.
Well, this is not easy to do, but we worked it out. If you buy a ticket to this show, or even if you get one for free, for that matter, and you come to the show and you do not find it one of the most enjoyable, why don't we say the most enjoyable evening you've ever had. That's
right. The best time.
We will personally tell you how sorry we are.
Yeah, we'll do that. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
I never tire of having fun with you guys, and Triple Espresso has been to...
Are you tiring just a little bit?
I feel like maybe you're tiring a little
bit
right now.
Well, that's the second hour of my show.
Yeah.
But I'm not. But... We have had, we've been in about 100 cities in 6 countries. And wow, it's been interesting how God has expanded this little show of ours, which we hoped would last 3 months. And it's given us 23 years of fellowship together. And I have to say, it's really important for Christians to get around a table and talk, because I think that's where good ideas come
from. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that's kind of interesting, there was a time... We prayed together before our shows, the three of us, and we had been not praying together much before this time, but we were about to do the show, and we were sitting in a circle, and Bill was praying, and he was saying, Lord, we thank you so much for this gift of doing this show. And I said, yes, Lord. And he stopped. And then he kept going, and he said, and boy, it is such a gift to be able to bring laughter to be. And I said, yes, Lord. And he said, is there a problem? And I opened my eyes and I said, what? He said, do you need me to go slower? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you keep saying little slower.
little slower.
No, I'm saying yes, Lord.
Say it louder then so I can hear it.
Yeah.
All right, if you have not gotten your name in the drawing for tickets today, why not do it right now? Send me an email, bill@myfaithradio.com, and then in the subject line, put the number 70. That means you're going to want to come to the 70th anniversary event coming up March 16th at the Knight Performance Hall on the campus of the University of Northwestern in St. Paul. Make sure when you do it, you put your name and address so we can send out the tickets to the winners. We'll take a little break and be back with more of Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly, my good friends and colleagues right here in the studio. We'll be back in a minute.
That's called Blue Rondo a la Turk.
Keep doing a little bit more.
That's about all I knew.
Okay. I like that.
We kind of already heard that.
Yeah.
You did,
because
it's
over and over the same thing.
Dave Brubeck.
It was Dave Brubeck.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Cool.
All right, welcome back to the show. I have Bob Stromberg, Michael Pierce Donnelly in studio. The three of us are going to be part of the big 70th anniversary event, March 16th, 7 p.m., Knight Performance Hall. Email me for tickets if you like, bill@myfaithradio.com. Just put the number 70 in the subject line, name and address. We'll get you some tickets. You know, after 3,500 performances together, we certainly have had our share of audiences. Some they're not all created equal, are they?
Well, no, and that is a mysterious thing that makes live performance so much fun, because you never know. It's the same show, the same script, the same lighting, the same stage manager, the same spotlight. Everything is exactly the same, except it's a different group of people who comes in, and it's as if people stand out in the lobby and they decide what kind of audience they want to be before they come in.
They get in a huddle,
yeah,
and they just decide, okay. When that first laugh line comes on, let's not make a single sound.
Let's give them nothing.
Let's mess with them.
Not even like a nothing.
Bill, you were there one night. And by the way, just so people know, almost always then that audience leaves and people say, "Oh my goodness,
I've never laughed so hard."
I don't know when I've laughed. Yeah, and you just go, "Really? Wow, that's a sad thing to hear." But there was a time. During the shadow piece, where there's no music happening, it's just me making shadows mm-hmm. on the screen. And I'm standing back there, and I'm listening, and there are people, there's an audience. And it was as quiet, it seemed to me quieter than if there was nobody but me in the room. Mm-hmm. It was just hysterical.
Eerie.
And you just, there's no explaining it. It's a mystery. Which is why we always pray that the Holy Spirit will fill that room and touch every single person who enters with the joy of the Lord and use that to minister to those people in any ways that he wishes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. You never know what people are going through.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, if you see somebody, we can often see people's mm-hmm. faces that are yep. that are sitting out there, and we don't know what's going on in somebody's
that's right.
life.
That's right.
But theater is so different than any other medium because you're sharing the same air as the people that you're with, and there are all kinds of factors. What was the weather like on the way in? Yeah. How hard was it to find parking? What was the yeah. experience that I came home from home? You know,
yeah.
Anyway,
there was a marriage counselor who had us as a recommendation for couples that were struggling. And he said, I've got two couples that cite the night they came to the show as the turnaround night in their marriage because they laughed together and they looked at each other and said, we have hope, don't we? Because he said laughter is one of the first things that leaves a relationship.
Well, people start to feel like they have nothing in common. And then they come and they laugh, both of them. Well, now they have something in common, something they can begin building on.
We had a woman who came in late to a show a couple months ago. And, you know, we kind of play a little bit with them if that happens. It's all harmless, good fun.
Yeah, but, she was laughing. Scaring people.
She was laughing. It was no big deal. But after the show was done, she came up to us, and this was one of those moments where she said, I have to tell you, my life is really, really hard right now. I've got a son who is severely autistic, and every day is a struggle, and we have there's so much going on, and I needed to laugh so badly.
Yeah.
And so thank you. You gave us a gift tonight. And that's an amazing thing to get to do.
And that's the joy of doing what we do as individuals in our comedy, but also as a trio. I mean, what a pleasure. What a mm-hmm. privilege to be able to do that.
And how many times have you had this comment? Thank you. You just gave me 2 hours of a cancer-free life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I must have had that 50 times from people.
Yeah.
And there is, you know, they can stop their worrying for 2 hours.
And I've never heard anybody say, you gave me cancer. And
Never once.
Never.
No. Yeah, no, I don't think
so. I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
So that's one of the beautiful things.
Is that on the website?
Will not give you cancer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's another guarantee that we offer to our people.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a dry seat in the house is another guarantee.
We occasionally have to take a chair out. We've had to do that.
It's true. Yep. We did have somebody say to the house manager, I'm so sorry, seat A3, you just might want to take care of that.
Yeah.
Really sorry.
Yeah, but there's been so many touching remarks because comedy and laughter will move you. It's like a good cry or a good laugh will nudge you, give you hope again. I remember there was a woman in Sarasota that came up to me. She said, my daughter came to this show 3 days ago and she brought me back. It was our closing day on a Sunday. And she said she has gone through a divorce. She's gone through depression. She said, I saw her laugh for the first time in 13 years.
Yeah.
She said, you don't know what a gift that is to this 87-year-old mother.
Mm.
And then she was crying and I was crying. It was just, you know, so.
One of our reviews, which was supposed to be a poor review, and I don't remember which paper it was, but the critic said, well, there are funny moments. It's not like this is going to move you emotionally. Oh, no, he said people were falling out of their seats. Now, it's not like this is going to move you emotionally.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait a minute.
What is moving you emotionally if you're falling out of your seat laughing?
That's moving one emotionally, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what a joy.
You know, and Bob, I know you and I were a little bit closer in age than Mike, but we sort of grew up where we loved Andy Griffith. We loved shows that... You really...
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke. You laughed and you felt good about what you were laughing at.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the goals we've always had with the show,
mm-hmm.
is to produce that kind of experience.
Yep.
So...
Yep. I'm not that younger than you guys.
You're not that much younger, but you weren't an Andy Griffith guy, were you?
I absolutely was an Andy Griffith guy.
Okay, name one episode. You can't.
Well, there's the one with Opie and Andy when they're going walking toward the river.
That's the opening of the show, Mike.
The guy flips a rock into the water. And okay,
that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Aunt B.
Yep. Oh, the one with Aunt B. That show.
Yeah. That one is funny.
Yeah. And the one with Barney. You remember the show with Barney?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Barney
yeah.
Fife?
Yeah. Remember the salt and pepper suit?
Oh, I thought that was the big.
Well, you know everyone.
Purple.
You've got them cataloged, don't you?
How many
were there, Bill? How many shows do you know?
Well, there were 8 seasons.
Yeah.
5 in black and white.
Yeah.
And that's when I stopped kind of watching, although I have the other seasons. Yeah.
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 I'm a big fan.
Then, once Barney was gone, who is the guy who took over? No.
Warren.
Gomer.
Warren.
Oh, Warren.
Warren.
Yeah.
Remember Warren?
Leishman.
Yeah. The fast-talking Warren.
Am I right? Yeah, it didn't quite work as well.
But there is so much bad comedy today, and there's so much offensive comedy. And, you know, I think comedy is all about trust. You take an audience to a certain place, and they understand this is where it's safe.
Yep.
And you never ever cross that line, because if you do, you have violated the trust.
Yeah.
And then they don't like you anymore.
And we always said about Triple Espresso that one of the great things about it, and certainly one of the great things about it in terms of its business success, was that people could come, they could bring their young children, not toddlers, but mm-hmm. they could bring their school age children. They could bring their moms and dads and their grandmas and grandpas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of tickets right there.
Yeah.
So if we always, it's not as if every child is going to get everything, but nothing is going to be offensive.
Right.
And all the laughs are going to be on us.
Yeah. And in San Diego, we are the longest running show in the history of San Diego.
Yeah.
And we accomplished that after 6 years running, and we were there 10 years. So I don't know if that record will ever be beat.
I think we were there 11 years.
11 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. And mm-hmm. The most famous person in San Diego to see the show, do you remember? Who was?
Well, Ben Vereen was there.
Ben Vereen was there, but...
Dick Enberg was there.
Yeah, but...
Oh, yes.
Oh,
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he walked out and said, thanks for not picking on me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, trust me, Bill. If we picked on you, the show would have stopped.
Yeah.
Because they would have stopped looking at us and started watching you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he must have been sweating the whole time thinking...
Oh, I can only imagine. Please. Yeah.
Marissa, right? Is his wife? Was it Marissa?
Melinda
said, thanks for not picking us. And I remember Dane was thinking, who was playing the show that night, he was thinking, I have no idea who you are. So, yes, you're welcome. And then Bill walked by, oh, yes, I know who you
are.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of the listeners remember Mercedes McCambridge, the two-time award-winning, Academy Award-winning actress. But she said, this is my favorite show.
How about that?
Yeah, my favorite show.
How about that?
They did a big honor to her at the Academy Awards, where they brought in all the 2-time Academy Award winning winners. And so she said, it was a Sunday, and she said, Friday night I went and saw my friend Victor Borge perform in Encinito. And last night I was in L.A. for the presentation of the 2-time Academy Award winners. But she said, tonight's been my most favorite.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding.
That's so
great. She goes, this is literally my favorite show.
Yeah.
I thought, Bach.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's the first time I've heard that story.
Okay, yeah, start playing some softening music, Mike. something from the Soft Touch collection.
Oh, let's see.
No, I don't want you to sing. I just want you to play. Yeah, I don't want to push.
No, we've really had enough of the singing.
I agree, Bob.
Is awfully
nice. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Because we're getting to wrap things up here. We've got about a minute left, and I want to just give the information one more time.
While Michael doesn't sing, plays.
He doesn't sing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or hum, for that matter. He doesn't hum.
I prefer he not hum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you make him stop? Bob, make him stop.
Yeah.
There. All right. If you have not put your name in the drawing, do it now. Email bill@myfaithradio.com, and in the subject line, just put the number 70. That will mean you want tickets for the 70th anniversary coming up March 16th at the Night Performance Hall on the campus of the University of Northwestern. Show will be at 7 p.m., one night only. We promise you will have a blast. And it's going to be a great night of great humor and music and ministry. And we will be celebrating 70 years of Faith Radio. It was on February 7th that Billy Graham prayed the dedicatory prayer to get the station up and running. And it's now in its 70th year. We just want to have a big celebration, give God all the glory. So come on out. If you have tickets, you're going to have a great night. And if you still want to get in the drawing, send away to bill@myfaithradio.com, and we will have a drawing and send you tickets. Thanks for listening as you lay your...
So it's the laughter we will remember.
I'll see you
Come
guys
on, Bill.
Tomorrow.
Whenever we remember.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.